Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. If you want to advertise with us or questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerland. Three-man pod. We got my man Mason Ginsburg from Bourbon Street Shots, covers the Pelicans, in the building. What's up?
Not much. It was fun watching their first preseason win of the season for New Orleans, but disappointed not having Bulls staple Rajon Rondo on the floor.
108 to 95 was the decision tonight, I guess you could say, as if it was a boxing match or something. As Mason pointed out, Pelicans got their first win, avenged a, I think, four-point win for the Bulls in New Orleans earlier in the week, and this was the Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins show. They combined for 59 points, 37 of them from Anthony Davis, 22 of those came at the free throw line, whereas 22 of 23. I feel like this might have been a Bulls game that we're going to see on repeat again and again and again this season, because the Bulls played hard. There were moments, long stretches of the game where they were competitive, down 6-8 points here and there. The offense wasn't good in the first quarter, much better in the second and third quarter. You felt like the flow was there. And then just the other team's talent probably shines through. And I feel like this is just how Bulls games are going to go. They can't control guys like Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis. They're just overmatched defensively in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this is one of those games. Like you said, you know, they play hard. You know, poor Lauri Markkanen, he made his NBA debut. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But his first assignment, oh, you're gonna have to guard DeMarcus Cousins. Hey, welcome to the NBA, kid. Like, that's just not gonna go well for him.
Yeah, Lauri played a fair amount of center, more than actually I kind of expected. He only played 15 minutes and 29 seconds because he was on a roughly 15 minute time limit because of the back spasms he's been dealing with that kept him out for the first three preseason games. And, well, Boogie has 43 pounds on him, according to the stat sheets, according to the rosters.
I think those might be out of date.
Might be, like, 60 pounds on him. Yeah. And he definitely has a lot more force than Lauri could be reckoned with there. But I thought Lauri was okay. He was 1 of 9. He's really bad shooting. 0 of 6 from three-point range. But he looked like he knew what he was doing out there, I guess you should say.
I like the way he was playing. He was just not afraid to shoot. You know, he's a rookie. He's coming in. You know, you think maybe he's going to be a little bit gun shy. No, he was just firing the shots up. He got to the basket a couple of times. He only ended up making one shot, but you know, he had a couple of good takes.
Yeah, his lone basket was like a layup or kind of a slash or cut to the rim in semi transition as a trailer beat Boogie down the floor for it. He did airball a three pointer, but like when the ball rotated to him on the wing, like you said, he wasn't shy. After the game, he pointed out that I'm not lacking confidence. We asked him, you know, you're not shy about shooting the ball. And he says, I'm not lacking confidence, which I thought was his best line. He's a pretty soft-spoken kid, probably not going to go out of his way for long answers or anything like that. But this is a guy that I think he knows why he's in Chicago. Like, the Bulls drafted him here to be a gunner, you know what I mean, at the four spot. And obviously they want him to play some 5-2. That was part of the plan tonight, the preseason opener. I don't know how much they can get away with playing him at center in the regular season, because like guys like Boogie, that's just going to be a disastrous mismatch for him, you know? On that end, like Mason, what did you think of Markkanen's debut? What did you think of him going up against, I mean, a Pelicans team that has two stars, and I don't know that anyone on the Bulls is under the auspices of that's what he'll be someday, but they want him to elevate his game to a level like that. What'd you think tonight?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you have to remember here is usually in your first preseason game, you may get, you know, 15 minutes against a starting lineup and then 15 minutes against guys who are not going to make the team. The Pelicans played this like a regular season game. You know, Davis had 34 minutes, Cousins had 36. Like, that's tough. And, you know, all that being said, the fact that he's got to come in there and shoot his shot and just be very confident and, you know, not back down from such imposing competition was, I think, a good sign.
What did you think of the way the Bulls offense flowed, Sean, in that sense? Like, the execution didn't feel there because they shot 11 of 41, I think, on
right,
three-pointers.
Right, they're not 11 of 41. It's not, it wasn't anything close to the three-point barrage that we saw the other night against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But, you know, I again, the ball was moving. Guys were making plays. You know, they were mixing it up. You were having, like, you know, with Chris Dunn out, there was kind of a hole at the point guard behind Jaren Grant. And I like the way they were kind of, you know, sometimes Justin Holiday brings the ball up. Sometimes Denzel Valentine brings the ball up. Like, they were able to just kind of have, you know, this is something that Hoiberg has talked about the last couple of days with different guys being able to initiate the offense, and I think that's something we saw a little bit of tonight.
Yeah, and we asked Fred pregame how much of this offensive system and that he has in so far at this point with a couple weeks into training camp and 4 out of 6 preseason games now under their belt. And Fred kind of pointed out that he has like 2 main tenets of his offense now, 2 main sets, and there are hundreds of deviations and actions off of how the defense is playing it, who beats their man and such. But so far, it's like the Bulls really are doing 2 or 3 things offensively. They're running dribble handoffs that's maybe start on the wing a lot of the times, and then are ball reversaling throughout the perimeter until someone gets a step on their guy and goes in. And then they just like flank out to the corners to three-point territory and stuff and spread the floor and are trying to make an emphasis on getting to the corners for three-pointers. Or they're just running a pick-and-roll action in which they're also swinging the ball as much as they can, and sometimes they swing the ball into a pick and roll action as well. So, like, so far from what we've seen from the Bulls, it's really not rocket science, you know what I mean? It feels like these guys like the offense, and it's a little bit more egalitarian of a system again. I mean, they had, what, 3 guys, 4 guys with around 13 to 15 points on this guy, Denzel Valentine. On this night, Denzel Valentine had the most with 15. But the Bulls, again, it had the feel of, as we move forward, this is what we're going to see again and again and again.
Well, that's just a function of the team being all young guys who haven't proven themselves. There's nobody on this team who, you know, has the stature of a Jimmy Butler or a Dwayne Wade where he can say, I have to get the most shots, I have to get the most touches. You go up and down this roster, like, there's nobody that you can say, like, is going to have to be able to assert himself as, like, this is the go-to guy. Like, it's going to have to be kind of by committee. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Bulls aren't going to win a lot of games, because they don't have somebody who's good enough to be able to command that. But I think it is going to get guys in the mindset of, okay, maybe I'm not going to get a ton of touches this night, but that's okay because I'm going to get them the next night.
Mason, how's anyone supposed to guard Anthony Davis? Because the Bulls, they're not cut out for it. They traded Jimmy Butler. They traded their best defender. Taj Gibson's long gone as well. Like, I don't know how anyone's supposed to guard him.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm not sure how anyone guards him in practice or any of the games we've seen so far. He's been pretty imposing. Him and Cousins. I mean, what they did last year, I think, was just let AD eat. Like, I think they kind of realized with the situation with Drew last year that, you know, there's going to be uphill battle, and they kind of realized playoffs may not be in the cards. And of course, the Boogie trade made things a little different at the deadline, but they just fed him, and now they're kind of branching out, and they're letting him do more. Whether it's not just shooting, he's moving the ball around, but it's fun to watch those two guys. You can see every game, Cousins and AD, they're learning how to play together more and more, and that's going to be, I mean, as we see with injuries with these fringe guys like Solomon Hill and Rondo, like, this team's just going to go as far as those two guys go.
Well, one thing that a lot of guys talked about, you know, in the locker room after the game was that now, like, you know, they did the trade last February, and, you know, the Pelicans were actually pretty good after the trade when those two both played. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, they've had a whole offseason, and they have a whole training camp to get DeMarcus acclimated and get him, you know, put into the system, as opposed to, you know, you're in the middle of a playoff race and then you do this trade and you have to work a guy in who commands as much attention in the playbook as DeMarcus Cousins in the middle of the season when everybody is already kind of used to their roles and you're already kind of in the middle of this playoff spot. Now, like, they kind of get a fresh start to get him worked in and, you know, figure out how they're going to use him and how they're going to use him and Anthony Davis together. And, you know, I think that's going to make them pretty dangerous this season if everybody can stay healthy.
Right, and that's always been the key. I mean, that they've been looking good, and I think they had a real plan of attack. And now, I mean, I'm not going to sit here, and you guys saw him play last year, I'm not going to say Rondo is a guy that's going to make or break your season, but the way...
Well, he did in the playoff for the Bulls.
Fair enough. But the way that they kind of planned this out was to, for Jrue Holiday to be their secondary ball handler, and for them to be able to really dish it around and create some serious movement and cutting action. And with this Rondo injury, does it go back to how it was before with Jrue Holiday being the main guy? Do they find someone who fill that role for Rondo while he's out? It's a question. It's another one of those just you shake your head because you go into the training camp and the preseason with this mentality. This is how the offense is going to flow, and now you have to make a change. And so, I mean, as we saw tonight, I mean, Cousins and AD can handle themselves in most situations, but not that the Bulls are going to be one of the better teams in the league, but. Still nice to see. We'll have to see if the Pelicans are going to change their, how the rotations change without Rondo. Yeah.
So just a note on the Rondo thing, by the way. He has a sports hernia, apparently, and he's going to see a specialist tomorrow in Philadelphia. And, you know, we're going to find out more about his timeline then, but guys in the locker room for the Pelicans after the game, that was the locker room I went into, seemed like they thought that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, which is kind of a long time.
Who's saying 4 to 6 weeks?
That's what, you know, Jrue said that. Like, just obviously not as an official thing, but he's like, yeah, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, he'll be back in the rotation. Like, it sounds like he might be out a while.
Yeah, like Scott Kushner from The Advocate reported that's what he's hearing. New Orleans Advocate, sorry. And and so, I mean, we'll see. They're going to know for sure tomorrow. But I think the Pelicans are operating as such as he's going to miss about the first month of the season.
Well, did you think, and I mean, this is still holds water too, because he will be back this season, obviously. But is this experiment going to work? Because you look at it from the Bulls' perspective of last year with Rondo, and you say, no, the experiment didn't work whatsoever because the offense was just so clogged up, so dysfunctional on a night-to-night basis with so much isolation ball from Jimmy and D-Wade, and then Rondo wanting to play in a different style. Not enough shooters on the perimeter for the Bulls last year for Fred Hoiberg's system. And you look back on it, you're like, his influence on the young guys was great. So in that sense, it was really good to establish an attitude of what it takes to work every day and be a professional. I think Rondo did an excellent job. But on the floor, it didn't work. Pelicans in a little bit different of a situation, wanting to make the playoffs right now. You know what I mean? Is it going to work?
I think it will. They're definitely better fits, without a doubt. They wanted two ball handlers to help. They wanted someone to take some of the pressure off of Jrue Holiday and let him be more of an off-ball guy who could shoot it and move around without the ball a little bit. And so, for example, first game of the preseason, Pelicans took 5 mid-range shots outside of the paint. And okay. So that's kind of what they're looking to do and trying to get open threes with those big two guys in the middle and then getting into the paint for their guards. So. I think they can make it work. Like I said, Rondo's not going to help you space the floor, but I think what they need and kind of what I was looking at the Bulls do a little today and got a little jealous was 41 threes. Like you're not going to take 41 threes with Cousins and Davis in the middle, but you need guys who are willing to put the ball up and to try to give them a little bit of space.
Well, it kind of helps that Cousins and Davis are both guys. Neither of them are great 3-point shooters, but they're both, you know, they have that in their game. They're both willing to go out there, take those shots, and they make at least enough of them that the defense has to respect them. So guys that are so dominant inside like that can step out and do that, that's going to give them a lot of options. As far as the Bulls, yeah, they're going to have no shortage of... Because, I mean, if you look at tonight, Nico Mirotic, 5 three-point attempts. Justin Holiday, 9 three-point attempts. 4 for Jaren Grant, 4 for Bobby Portis, 7 for Denzel Valentine, 6 for Lauri Markkanen in his first ever. Like, they've got... And then, you know, Zach LaVine, once he comes back from the torn ACL, he's... upped his 3-point shooting a lot in the last couple of years in Minnesota. They've got no shortage of guys who are going to put those shots up. Whether they go in on a night-to-night basis, that's going to probably be a lot of variance, and that's going to contribute to them not winning a lot of games. But they got guys who are going to be shooting them. They're going to probably be in the 40s or somewhere around there most nights or a lot of nights.
Like we've said before, it seems like everyone on the Bulls pretty much has a green light. And along those lines, Hyken, we got to talk about one of your boys.
Which of my boys?
Bobby Portis. I don't think he's making any inroads right now toward more playing time. He had 10 points and 6 rebounds, whatever. You look at the box score, that's fine in 21 minutes. But he was 4 of 11 from the field, and they seem like empty minutes to me when I'm watching them. Someone on the Bulls has to get rebounds. He got 6 of them. That's good. But again, someone has to get some rebounds. I just don't think offensively, it doesn't feel like he's in the flow. It feels like the Bulls are executing the process of Fred Hoiberg's offense when Nico Mirotic is out there. Mm-hmm. Because Nico, wherever he is at, the decisions Nico is making, and look, Nico hasn't had the greatest preseason either here, but that's what it feels like to me when I'm looking at this. And this is a big opportunity for Bobby Portis this season, and so far I don't feel like he's a different player yet.
The Bobby Portis decision tree is literally just, he gets the ball, he's going to put the shot up. Like, or maybe he makes one pass, but he gets the ball, he's going to put the shot up. Like, that's, you look at, with Nico, like, he's able to, like, get the ball and then,
pump fake. Nico has a lot of pump fakes on his decision tree.
Well, right, a lot of pump fakes, but also, like, he'll make the pass. Markkanen seems like a pretty sharp player. Like, he'll make the pass. Bobby, like, he's a guy, he gets the ball, he's going to shoot it. Like, that's just what's going to happen. And, with what Hoiberg wants to do when it comes to, like, everybody moving the ball around, Bobby gets the ball, he's going to shoot it. Like, that doesn't really fit in with it.
Nico's decision tree is just always ripe with pump fakes,
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, always great harvests of pump fakes from that tree. But the Bobby thing, I mean, you just made his decision tree, like, it's almost like a flow chart. Should I shoot? Yes. And then you point toward no, and it says, ask yourself again, should I shoot? And he just does that until he lands on yes again. And look, again, 4-11, this is one game. He hasn't stood out in the preseason much to me. And Fred hinted after the game, he was asked, is the starting lineup you used in this game? And just to be clear on that, it was Jaron Grant, Justin Holiday, Robin Lopez, Nikola Mirotic, and Paul Zipser. He was asked if those five are probably going to be his starting five on opening night on, I believe, October 19th
in Toronto. Yeah.
And he said, yeah, basically it's seeming that way. He didn't confirm it, but he said, yeah, it's trending that direction. So that's the five. Like, Nico's probably going to win that starting spot. And then once I see Nico win that starting spot, and you know how bad the Bulls are going to be this year in rebuilding, it just feels like it's a matter of time before Lauri Markkanen is the backup power forward playing 24 minutes a game in some regard to me. And that pushes Bobby out. I'm looking long term here. Projecting.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't. I'll give this to Nico. He actually is earning the starting spot this time. Fred's first year here, he is given the starting spot over Noah when he maybe shouldn't have. And then last year they wanted to give it to him, but he was so outplayed by Taj. This year he actually has been their best option at power forward, so he's actually earning that spot. So yeah, I think, Bobby Portis, like, he's kind of in this weird spot right now where, like, Nico has been playing the best out of those guys, and Markkanen is a guy who fits, we think, ideally on paper, better in Hoiberg's offense. And, he's also, because of, he's a high lottery pick and they got him in the Butler trade, like, they're going to want to play him some minutes. Bobby might be the odd man out here.
Anything else stick out in this game to you guys? I mean, the flow of it, any big picture stuff, anything moving forward that caught your eye, changes your outlook in any way here with the Bulls and the Pelicans?
Well, from the Bulls' perspective, I thought it was interesting. Hoiberg said yesterday at practice that Ryan Arcidiacono was going to get a lot of looks at backup point guard while Chris Dunn is out. And by the way, just so you guys know, Chris Dunn is still scheduled to see a hand specialist tomorrow, and so then we'll have maybe more of a timeline for his return. But getting back to the backup point guard situation while he's out, Arcidiacono did play, but, Denzel Valentine got the first look as the backup point guard this time. So, that's going to kind of be how it goes.
I want to be clear here. I want to point this out, that Ryan Arcidiacono's job, and I do want to point out on Press Row that Joe Cali, sometimes beat writer, was just calling him Ryan the whole night. Ryan, because he's not going to basically waste the time of having to worry about Arcidiacono. He's going to be sent to the D League. There's only so many players you're a veteran beat writer.
He also only has 45 days that he's allowed to be on the big time.
I was just laughing the whole time because Callie's calling him Ryan. Ryan's getting, man, he missed that open guy. Oh, Ryan just shot a three. Like, the
have
whole
we had
time.
Callie on the podcast yet? I feel like we need to do that.
That's true. We do absolutely need to. But Ryan's job was to, like, dribble the ball up the court while getting hounded by Etuan Moore or another Pelican.
Bulls legend, Etuan Moore, by
probably further down on their roster there, who's just trying to prove himself. His job was dribble the ball up the floor and then give it to someone else to initiate the offense. So I'm not sure about the specifics here of Bulls' backup point guard, because we should actually right now probably tag it Bulls backup guy in charge of dribbling to half court, and then Bulls backup in charge of initiating the offense. It's two different things right now.
David Nwaba has been dribbling the ball up around half court. Like, he's been kind of initiating the offense, even though Fred Hoiberg was very quick to point out the other day at practice that he's not a point guard.
Yeah, David Nwaba also, he has absolutely mad hops. Absolutely mad hops. And he went up for an offensive rebound in this game, caught it midair, and I swear I've never seen anyone fake a pass twice in midair in which they're getting an offensive rebound. It's one thing to have the ball already and be dribbling and jump and maybe fake a couple passes and something like that. But, like, he caught it, faked left, right, didn't throw it, and then just came down, and it was really awkward, and he just landed, and I'm thinking in my head, and others are thinking, like, did he already travel? And it's like, no, he just caught it and threw the ball, like, back and forth, but actually didn't. So that's a guy that can jump out of the gym. A guy that could earn some backup point guard minutes.
I think it's pretty clear he's going to stick.
Yeah, I think so too, because the Bulls have 13 guaranteed contracts. He'd be in line for the 14th roster spot, and then despite their claims otherwise, they'll probably cut a 15th man and save a few dollars, or what do you think here?
Yeah, probably.
Even though you got to get to the salary floor.
I think we know who the odd man out there is going to be. Cameron Payne.
Diamond Stone. Cameron Payne's a guaranteed contract.
Yeah, but they can still cut him.
They're not cutting Cameron Payne. I can't believe Mason missed the Cameron Payne experience tonight. Was he?
You see him? I saw him. He was rolling out. He had the scooter.
Yeah, the jokes write themselves sometime. All right, Mason, we're gonna put you in the spotlight here. Are the Pelicans making the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Yes? Are you looking at a 7th seed here?
7th or 8th seed.
So who are your 8 teams in the West?
So it's...
obviously, like, beyond, you know...
Yeah, the top 4.
The top 5 is, you know, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, Oklahoma City. I think Minnesota's in.
So I do think Minnesota's definitely in.
I think the Clippers
are
in, too.
Okay. I'm not putting Minnesota in the guaranteed 5 seed yet. I think they're definitely the most likely team for it. But I've got the...
How about guaranteed 3 seed? Let's go all in on Tibbs again. Lock them in for the free seat. That's what we should do.
But I think the last three are the Nuggets, Clippers, and Pelicans.
Okay.
You have them ahead of Portland.
Yes. Have them ahead of Portland. Have them ahead of Utah.
I think they're better in both those teams too. You think? What's so good about the Trailblazers right now?
Because they're going to get a full year of Nurkic, and then if Dame and CJ, you know, both stay healthy, which there's no reason they're not going to. You know, I think that team is going to be pretty good. I'm kind of out on the Clippers. I don't think
they have the world's greatest passer.
They do have the
Twitter and Locked On Bulls listeners who got mad at me when I doubted that Milos Teodosic was the world's greatest passer.
They do, yeah. But here's the thing: like Blake Griffin, huge injury risk. Danilo Gallinari, huge injury risk. I mean, I realize this is a huge thing with the Pelicans too. Yeah. But like, I think the Pelicans and the Clippers are both teams where like if they're healthy, I think they have enough talent to clearly be in the playoffs. But those are both teams where I have so many questions about them being able to stay healthy. And then with New Orleans, you already are seeing Solomon Hill is going to be out for a while. Rondo we think is going to be out for a while. And when Solomon Hill is like a big deal that he's injured, like that's not great.
Yeah.
I mean they just replaced him effectively with Tony Allen, who doesn't. I think.
Tony Allen's 35 though. Like,
he does a lot of what Solomon Hill's going to do between him and and they got Dante Cunningham back, and so that fills a lot. The problem is like the trickle down effect of the depth, but I mean those two guys will fill a lot of what Solomon Hill's going to do for New Orleans.
I think it's Denver, Portland, Utah for those last three spots in some order. But like any of those 5 or 6, actually even Memphis could sneak in there.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously like their big two, and Parsons is a big X factor for them this year.
Oh well, I forgot just... Chandler Parsons was even a thing. Like I'm not even counting Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, I just
Parsons
don't see it outside. They just need so much. They don't have anything apart from Gasol and Conley, really. So.
I would put them behind those, but I think New Orleans would be in the mix if they can stay healthy, if guys can stay healthy, yep. If AD and Boogie can stay healthy for a whole year, and Drew Holiday. Like I think they could get in there, but that. God, the West is going to be such a bloodbath, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Drew Holiday, I feel like it's a bad rap with his health. He had a bunch of problems before, but he's been healthy for 2 years.
He had his family situation last year. That's why he missed a lot of time.
I want to let you know, there's a sequence in the third quarter, I think, when the Bulls had their most beautiful possession of the night, swinging the ball around the perimeter like 3 times, and Denzel Valentine hitting a 3-pointer in the quarter that I thought to myself, the United Center crowd just got really loud in a preseason game. It was like the second... loudest of the night, right after the Dunkin' Donuts contest, of course, as always. But I was like,
By the way, this Dashing place, Donut won the Dunkin' Donuts.
This place would
tonight.
Be really fun if the Bulls were really good and in the playoffs again, like truly good. And then for a second, my mind watered. And I thought, if the Bulls shoot 50% on three-pointers the whole year and shoot 40 of them a game in the bad East, could they make a run? No.
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 No, you're
no.
Just,
so that
just,
was so, you, that was as far as the Bulls playoff talk.
You
got,
started
so.
To have the thought, and you're just like, wait, no, what am I
no,
doing?
No, no, even if they shot 50%, probably not is the way it goes. But like I said, that is it's probably a lot of the Bulls basketball that we will see for games and games, months and months to come here as this year moves on. As always, you can follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlund. Mason, what's your Twitter handle?
Just my name, Mason Ginsburg.
There you go.
Read Mason at Bourbon Street Shots, a blog covering the Pelicans. Does great work over there.
Thank you. Yep.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well with Locked On Bulls by its name. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. With any questions, advertising inquiries, always welcome. And most of all, subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever else you can find podcasts. Go on iTunes. Make sure you leave us only a 5-star review. Don't leave us a 4-star review or any other kind of review. 5-star reviews only. And tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about Locked On Bulls. Tell your friends about the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. Are we gonna? They play in Cleveland on Tuesday. We're gonna have a podcast after that game, probably.
We'll see. To be there's Cubs stuff going.
Sure.
On. We gotta keep
there's a lot
work life on. But yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have
something for you.
We'll have one soon. Thanks for listening, guys.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.